WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
There's a river I want to swim in. There's a river I want to live in. It's the
Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live right now, coming to you from Clearwater, Florida. Thank you, Brother Ken from Gospel Highlights. You always give such a great welcome to us as we take over on this segment on this radio station, 1340 AM on your dial. If you're not in the Tampa Bay area, or even if you are, you can go to the web and listen at Beacon of Hope. Well, I'm sorry, not Beacon of Hope. TanTalk1340.com. TanTalk1340.com. Push the listen button and join us. We welcome you to Living the Good Life today. And it's a great day. God is doing wonderful things. Connie, are you on the air with me?
You hear me okay?
I can now, yes. And yeah, there we go. Getting a strong signal here. Get everything set. Connie, I've got our new headphones on. Ha ha.
Really cool.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I love them. And did we have church today at Beacon of Hope, Connie Farmer?
I'd say so.
Did you enjoy that live band? Did you enjoy Canaan Band? Do you want to tell everybody what happened this morning at Beacon of Hope?
Well, we started an hour early so that we could feature the Canaan Band. Canaan Band's been with us on the radio a couple, three or four different times.
Yeah.
And, so we had them leading live praise and worship, and it was great. Fantastic.
Wasn't it great? And you did such a great job on the soundboard. And did that seem like old times back there on that great big old honking soundboard we have and all that equipment?
You know, it's been almost two and a half years.
Yeah.
And so even just sitting there and trying to remember everything, you know, Amy was going over stuff yesterday and, you know, it was starting to like click in to my old mind.
Right. And, yes.
Yeah. So it'll take a little bit.
Well, do you want to tell our listening audience, some of those maybe that aren't familiar with Beacon of Hope Ministries, why you were not running sound for 2 years?
Well, because a truck decided to run through our building, and
right.
we had to kind of shut down our operations and put things in storage. So we put everything on hold as far as our praise band and our use of all of our musical instruments and sound equipment, because we really didn't have a permanent place like we do now.
Yes, praise God. Oh, and so today...
It's too hard to haul that stuff around back and forth.
Just couldn't do it. Remember when we were having church in a box? I was carrying a plastic, great big plastic box, Bill, in between the hotel and my, you know, garage. That's how, all, just the stuff we needed for service. Mm-hmm. And because after that truck accident into our building, it took a while to come back out of all that and the litigation and the insurance and all of the stuff that happened. But praise God, that's 2 years ago and behind us. And Connie, I don't know about you, but I was so excited today to raise the roof and dedicate that new building, brand new building to God for Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I don't know about you, but I was just overjoyed beyond words. I can't even hardly come down from the excitement right now.
Yeah, it was great.
Wasn't
it was so good to have, you know, I had forgotten what it was like to have live people on stage instead of having,
right,
you know, soundtracks or stuff. And not that we don't have worship and that we don't have, enter into the presence.
Yes,
but
we do. Yeah.
When there's live human bodies, just like, you know, I was thinking because, you know, sometimes, you know, even though we know Jesus is there and God is there, it's nice to have a body, yes, something substantial to hug, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Same kind of thing. It's the same kind of concept.
It really is. And, you know, praise God for Marla and Pastor Jim, who have done a wonderful job and still are doing a wonderful job with the PowerPoints. Pastor Jim's taking it over now. And the music, it's great. But we are believing God for Praise Band again, are we not?
Yeah.
The one that will make its home at Beacon of Hope. So we're excited about that. And in the past, we've had some great musicians come through our doors, and some have moved away and some have moved on to other callings. You know, just like Mel, she helped start Beacon of Hope, and she was there playing keyboard today with Canaan Band. And what a blessing that she is, and what a wonderful friendship we've maintained. And I thank God for the people in the body of Christ, Connie, that step up to the plate, like you mentioned, Amy, and those that have come together in the last several weeks to bring this dream, this vision to fruition. Because, I mean, I want you to describe for our listening audience what the brand new space was on Almerton that we got on Memorial Day. What did it look like?
It was a warehouse that had a ceiling in it. It had a drop-down ceiling, but the walls had nothing on them except for the spackling, and the floors were just concrete with spackling and paint and just stuff all over the bottom. You know, it was just raw concrete. It was raw.
Open, no
wide
rooms.
Open.
Yeah.
No, the only walls were the bathroom, and there were two water fountains. And now we have an office, an entryway. We have a small kitchen area.
Yes.
And we put the stage up.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. And pretty soon we're going to have brand new pictures on our website. And there were a lot of video. Julie took a lot of video today. I don't know if you noticed. And so we're going to have some live stuff on our website soon. And it'll be exciting for our listeners to hear and see Canaan Band in action, because so many of them have just heard them on our show or through their CDs. And maybe perhaps, especially if you live quite a ways from this area, have never seen them in action. And honestly, that was just an incredible, incredible, dynamic service today. And their music just set it off, didn't it? It was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Exactly. Well, Connie, today we're talking about belonging and who we belong to and why we need to know who we belong to. It's so important. And I've been hearing that phrase in my spirit, in my heart all week, about how so many people do not feel that they belong, that they are just outsiders. They're outcast, perhaps. Maybe they feel like they're second-rate citizens. And you and I are going to talk about this in a few minutes. And then Deb from Texas, Pastor Deb's coming on to join us in a little while. But we're going to go to John 15. So if you have your Bible, you can go there. And first of all, we're going to play a song, Connie, that you picked today that is really one of my favorite songs we've done on this show through the last 3 years. It's by Hillsong. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I love the group Hillsong.
Oh, yeah.
Just
always. Between Hillsong, New Song, and a few others, Mercury, and, you know, they're substantial go-to people.
Oh, yeah.
We need a different thing.
And it's contemporary, but yet the message is so clear. Chosen as mine. Connie, stay with us.
Okay.
Here I am, so close to you. Know my voice, I'll never leave you. For I have loved you since before sands of time were made. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. My Father wants to bless you now. Receive from Him all that you'll never need. Come spend eternity with me. My heart's full of love for you. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen, that's mine. Cries in the desert, my child, I hear them. Tears in the valley, my lovely, I count them. You're so precious, you were on my mind. As I die, I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. Oh, yeah. Cries in the desert, my child, I hear it.
Praise God, I love that song. You are chosen as God's own child. Brother Ken, are you on the line with me?
Yes, I am.
Wow. Bill just came in and told me that you had something you wanted to say to us, and I will tell our listening audience. Connie, you still there with us?
Yes.
Okay. Brother Ken does the Gospel Highlight show that just finished right before us, and he's always so gracious to us. Brother Ken, what is it you want to tell our audience, and what do you want to say here?
Well, I just thought it was awesome the way God is moving right now. On two different sides of the bay right now. We also just started in a new church today.
Wow.
We've been working on it for, you know, several weeks, and
yes,
we moved in today. And ironically, the message today was about the same thing that you're about to talk about, those that need to belong, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And the message was entitled, I Gotta Get Myself Together.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And, so it was just coincidence that we started a new church today, and the messages are exactly the same today.
Do you know, Brother Ken, this is, Connie and I have noticed this through the years, when you walk in the Spirit of God and you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, God is saying some of the same things across the body of Christ. You don't have to be in the same church, right, to
that's
hear
right.
the same message. And all week long, I just kept hearing, who do you belong to? There are people that don't feel that they belong anywhere. And, you know, it's so important to feel that you identify somewhere, that you are valued for who you are and that you bring something to the table. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
So isn't that interesting? Praise God for that. That is really cool. And, you know, that's a confirmation to me, too, that I hear. Oh, and I've got to tell you this, Brother Ken, and Connie was there at the service this morning, this Canaan band, they're incredible. Well, the song they did right before I started my sermon is a new one that the keyboard player Melanie wrote just recently. And it's all about God chasing you, that he's chasing you. He's after you. He wants you, you know. And I tell you what, as the lyrics unfolded in that song, I mean, that place was going up in hoops and hollers and praise God, because that is so true. God is chasing us, Ken. He really
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
Yeah, do you want to add another thought to that before I let you go? Or
I just wanted to say, as you were saying there, a lot of times we're waiting for God to do something, and God's waiting for us.
Amen.
And so it's just time for us to take that step.
Yes, yes.
Stop putting it off. Stop waiting for something to happen. There's nothing that's going to happen. Nothing's going to fall down out of the sky. Whatever the case may be, God is just waiting for you to take a step.
Exactly. And Brother Ken, back on May 16th of this year, just a few weeks back, five of us on a Sunday morning before anybody else got there agreed in prayer that God was going to provide a place for us. We would get out of the hotel where we were meeting, that it would be a miracle. We did not know how. We didn't know what God was going to do. That very afternoon, we found the building where we are now in, and God moved so quickly, I cannot even begin to tell you. And yes, we dedicated it today. So isn't that cool?
That is incredible.
So thank you, Brother Ken, for calling in, and we appreciate you. God bless you and your ministry there. And we'll talk again and see you next week. So, all right. God bless you. Connie, did you just hear all that? Is she there? All right. Let's find her.
I was going to bring up that song.
Go ahead, Connie. We just lost you for a minute. Say that again. We just lost your sentence.
You brought up Kaden's song, their new song.
Yes.
And, you know what? I the whole introduction, how... led in between the songs, but when she started this song and she said, if you ever think that you're not worthy,
yes,
read Psalm 139.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you think, I can't remember exactly what all she said, but it was like, duh, read Psalm 139, you know, and,
right.
And, I mean, but no, not duh, but you know, not in a bad way, but it was like, she was so right on the money, and everybody that was in there, you know, and I talked to James later, and James said, oh my gosh, he said, while he was singing that, he said, he could just feel the Holy Spirit moving.
Oh. Absolutely. And we're going to have that song soon on here on the show, because it's brand new, just came off the presses with them.
Yeah, they haven't even recorded it yet.
It's not even on an album, no.
Yeah, and I said, you know, once you get that recorded, even if you release it as a single, whatever, as soon as you get it recorded, let me know, because we need to use it on the radio.
Oh, we definitely do. And what was so interesting is that Mel and I had not discussed what I was going to preach about or anything. And that song was the song right before my sermon. And it's so similar to what just happened with Brother Ken, walking out the door here, turning on the radio in his car, and realize what I was saying is exactly what's going on in their ministry. And it's just the confirmations, because when the band began to play that song, I mean, Connie, it's all I could do to sit in my chair, you know, because I knew the word that God had given me for the sermon and how it all fit together. And that's how the Holy Spirit works.
Right.
Woo. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. We just had it cut out here a minute. All right. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says this. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, do you think the branches belong to the vine, Connie? Are they kind of hooked in there, maybe, Con?
Yeah, tied in.
Tied in, you think? Because
yeah,
just
from
like
the stem.
Right, from the stem. I mean, just like a picture a tree, and if you the branches, if it happened in my front yard just a couple days ago, the city came by to repair a street light. When I came home, I was glad to have the street light repaired, but in so doing, they knocked down a bunch of branches out of that pretty tree. And they're just laying there. Now, all those branches in front of my house are still there ready for somebody to pick up. I don't know who that's supposed to be. But anyway, those branches are now dying, okay, because they fell off of the tree because the city or the county or whatever cut them off. Now, Jesus says here, I'm the vine, you are the branches. In other words, the branches, which are us, we are vitally united to the vine. We're hooked in. We belong to the vine, okay? When you're joined with me, this is what Jesus says in John 15:5. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relationship is intimate and organic. The harvest, I'm reading now the Message Bible, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Okay. In other words, do we want a harvest? Absolutely. We didn't go to all this work to have this big new building to not have new people walk in the doors and get saved and healed and set free. We want a harvest, do we not, Connie?
Exactly.
And it says it's sure to be abundant when we're united. We are plugged in. Okay. We are the branches. He is the vine. Let's go on. Separated, you can't produce a thing. anyone who separates from me, meaning Jesus, is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire, just like the branches that came off of my tree. But if you make yourselves at home with me, make yourselves at home with me. And I didn't really take this point clear out this morning in my sermon. In fact, I didn't hit on it much at all, except to go sit in one of our comfy chairs versus the church pew on the side wall there, and how the difference is in a little church pew that came from my church in Indiana and actually came out of a church. You know, this church pew came from 1868. It was built, and it was a little Methodist church up in Indiana. And I acquired three of these little pews because somebody donated them to the church. And it's a beautiful little pew, but it's not comfortable. And I made the point today, I would not want to sit on that little pew and watch a football game and relax. But I would like to go sit in the big comfy chair where Mama May was sitting today. You know what I'm talking about, Connie?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we make ourselves at home with God, it's like getting in a big old comfy chair. You know, where you just kind of, I've got, you know, my big leather chair at home, Connie, you know that chair I have that I like to sit in, and I got my football chair. In fact, I have a football little pillow for my back in that football chair, and all my little blankets and all my stuff and my doggies. And that's comfort for me. That's homey, you know? But to sit in a straight chair or a church pew is not, it's not comfortable. And Jesus said, I want you guys to be so comfortable with me that it's like you climbing into your favorite football chair and you get your favorite little football pillow behind your back and you relax and get comfortable with God. And then you even feel more that you belong. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, like climbing up in his lap.
Yes, like climbing up in his lap and feeling like you belong to him, you know? And it says, Jesus goes on to say, if you make yourselves at home, like in that big comfy chair with me, and my words are at home in you. Now, we're going to talk more about this when Pastor Deb comes on in a little while, but I know that a lot of people are not comfortable with God's word. It's new to them. It's foreign to them. It's almost like a different language. That's why I started teaching out of the Message Bible a few years back instead of my normal New American Standard. I found that people understood the way it was translated in the Message Bible better and helped them understand what Jesus was trying to say here. So in the Message Bible, it says this, if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure. Now, this is so important because so often we wonder why we do not get our prayers answered. And one of the main reasons is we aren't in the Word enough to know what to ask for and how to ask for it. And we're not comfortable with that relationship. We're not sure that we belong there or that we have the right to ask for those things. Can you relate to that, Connie? Have you ever had a time where you felt like, oh, I'm not sure if I should ask that God heal my body or whatever? Have there ever been those times in your life?
Well, you know, there's issues that I've had in the past with being worthy and not, you know, being able to call upon him for help. And
feeling unworthy, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, or you know, it's just something little. I should be able to handle this.
Right, yeah.
You know, and not necessarily have to go all the way to the top to get it fixed.
In other words, you're not really drawing on who you belong to. It's like, okay, I don't need to bother God with this. That's what you're saying, right?
Right.
And yet, here's what Jesus says right here, Connie. I'm going to have to read it again. If you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you. So there's two things. You make yourself at home with God. You curl up in that comfy chair with him and talk to him. And not just get comfortable with him, but you start reading his word and get comfortable with his word. I don't know about you, Connie. Well, I do know about you. I'm going to say this about you. You love God's word. You love it. I know that about you. And I remember when you first came to Beacon of Hope many years back and how you enjoyed the word. That was something you would say. I remember you saying that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the word that makes all the difference in our lives, is it not?
Yeah, because it just, like you taught, if you don't know who Jesus is, read John, because
right.
John is the one that Jesus loved, and he's the one that wrote the most about Jesus.
Right.
So read John about Jesus so you know who he is. Then when you know who he is, then you can read the other Gospels and learn what he did.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, read their version of the stories, of the not stories, but the recounts of what actually happened.
Exactly.
You know, as he traveled in his ministry and healed the sick and raised the dead and
amen,
and all those things.
Amen.
You know, and I think, and when he taught us, when he taught them in parables, a little, and I kind of link those to. They're kind of like stories with fables, but they're true.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're real and or have a moral to the story, you know. And he uses examples a lot like the way you teach. You know, you teach like today when you were teaching about being comfortable in God's presence or Jesus's presence, being as comfortable as sitting in a pew versus sitting in a easy chair.
Right.
He wants us to feel that way. He wants
yes.
us to feel comfortable. So to say it's kind of, I see that as the same kind of teaching. You teach that same way so that people like me who don't always understand literature and the, you know, the words and the analogies in plain, simple English or in your descriptions, then I understand it.
Absolutely. And don't you think that that is what people hunger for? They hunger for the understanding of who Jesus really is and what he wants to do in their lives. And I really believe, and that's what we're going to devote this whole show to today, people want to feel that they belong, Connie. They don't want to feel that nobody cares about them. That's two negatives, I know. They don't want to feel that nobody cares. So let's make it. They want to know and feel that somebody cares about them, you know?
Well, yeah, and it's not just, I mean, in their spiritual life, yes. But also in their life, period.
Yes.
I know that there was huge management studies done over time about people and their jobs and what gives people job satisfaction.
Right.
And it's not always, there are certain people who are motivated by money, and that's what people always think is that, you know, you got to pay them more to keep them happy. But almost, I think it was almost 85-90% of the people wanted to have a sense of belonging.
Wow. I've never heard that statistic. Wow.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's a huge statistic, you know,
yeah.
And that was even over that, of course, you know, that was done a while back, and I don't know which generation, you know, that it was, you know, and things may change with the younger generation coming into the workforce, but they were not motivated by money. They were motivated by the sense of belonging.
Wow. Well, you know that that's true because through life, I've noticed that when you spend a lot of time with your coworkers, you become friends with them. You know, you do things with them. Yeah. I mean, Friday afternoon, I got a call from my boss in my real estate business. And he said, hey, we got another ticket for the Rays game tonight because some of the people in our office have gone, you know, a couple times this year. And you want to go? I just couldn't do it. But I mean, it's that camaraderie, that feeling of belonging that you like, you know, and just mm-hmm. hanging out. And I think that we should get this mental picture right now of that big easy chair, of relaxing in your favorite chair. And God wants you to be that comfortable in his presence. And he wants you to be so free as to be able to talk to him. Because it says here, if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you. So that is God's word, his your Bible. And I encourage you, if you have an old King James and you just like don't read it because you don't get it and you don't understand that language, go to Walmart, go somewhere and get yourself a Message Bible. And I guarantee you, you will begin to understand it. It'll come alive to you as it has to the people that come to Beacon of Hope. We love this translation because the next phrase on this sentence says, if my words are at home in you, you can be sure. Now, I love this part, Connie. You can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. And in other words, he is saying, you want to get your prayers answered? It starts with you getting comfortable in God's presence, knowing that you belong to him. Like Mel's song today, Psalm 139, that God knew you when you were in your mother's womb, that he fashioned you. He knit you together. He knew all about you in your mother's womb. And that's what we're talking about here, Connie. And that's how we get our prayers answered. I know that seems a little far-fetched for some people maybe listening. How can God answer prayers? Because you get comfortable with him. But can you amplify on that at all before we get Deb in here?
Well, think about asking for something that you need. And, you know, some people may have a better relationship with one of their parents than they do their others. Maybe they're closer to their mom than their dad, and they wouldn't think about asking their dad for something, but they'd ask their mom.
Okay. All right.
But spending time with their dad, they might find out that he's not that bad of a guy.
Okay.
He's more than willing to supply whatever it is they need.
Right.
You know, it's just getting to know somebody and being able to not getting to know them for the purpose of getting something, but getting to know them to get to know them. And then all these other things just happen because when you love somebody and you care about them, you want to do things for them.
Exactly. And isn't that what Jesus...
The way
yeah.
God is.
Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I just think that part of that is feeling like you're worthy to be in his presence.
Yeah.
To have that relationship. And then if you stay there and work on it, and realize how much he does care about us and how much he wants to take care of us in every aspect of our life, not just the big stuff. And it's okay to trust him with the day-to-day stuff, too.
And fully realizing that he does want to heal your body. He does want to bless you. He does want to meet your needs. And that it's not this, and I said this morning, I'm going to say it again, it bears repeating. God gets a bad rap out there. He gets bad press because so many people think that God brings calamity, that God brings suffering, that God brings pain and illness to your body. But he doesn't. You know, that comes from the devil. And God gets blamed for so much that the devil does. The devil's a real master of trickery, you know, Connie.
Yeah, he's a liar.
He's a liar. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so,
you know, there was something that Mel said today when she was introducing that song and some of the words of that song.
Right.
That really, and I can't remember them verbatim, but the essence was that they were, he knew who they were, who we were.
Yes.
He knows who we are. He knows what we do. He knows everything about us. And he's the one that created us.
Amen.
And he created us for such a time as this.
Right.
And how do we know that he didn't create us the way we are just because there are going to be people in our past that they need to see that they're just like us?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, that is profound and so true. And that maybe we're a little quirky in some ways. Everybody is, you know. Maybe we have... issues, you know, that's the popular term. Maybe we have things going that somebody else goes, oh, well, I don't have that problem. Yeah, but honey, you know, look at yourself. You may have this other problem, you know. But the whole thing is God loves us just the way we are, and we belong in the family of God, Connie. I think that is what we've got to get this message out. God has a place for every one of you listening today. And those of you that are going to listen to this broadcast on our website at a later time, because you can listen tomorrow to today's show, and we keep them up there. Every show from 2010 is on there at beaconofhopeministries.com. So whoever listens, Connie, I want them to understand God says you belong. You're not the redheaded stepchild. You know that old phrase that you hear from time to time? You know, you're not the outsider. You're the insider, sweetie.
Well, and you know, there's so many people out there that are telling us that we're not worthy, that, you know, that it's hard for people who don't really reach out or don't really try to find out the truth. You know, they just get stamped down more. I know last night we were out, we went down to a store south of Tampa and came back through. We just drove through Ybor.
Mm-hmm.
And there was three or four guys, one guy with a megaphone and another one with a Bible raised up in the air, others with signs, and this other one was giving away these, they were kind of like tracks, but I wouldn't call them tracks because they had so much venom in them. And he was standing there with a sign that said, let me tell you why you're going to burn in hell.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I rolled down the window and I said, what makes you think you're not?
Yeah.
And then drove on.
Well, that was a nice gift to give him, yes.
Well, but, you know, I mean, it's so aggravating because they think, you know, there's these self-appointed people who are destroying people's lives.
Right.
And they think that they're supposedly doing something good for
them. Oh, yeah. And just the beating down and the... Yeah, Deb, are you on the air? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Connie, are you still with us?
Yep.
Okay, Connie, Deb, hey. Hey.
Hi, Deb.
It's good to hear your voice, Deb, from Houston. You've been listening to our conversation. Yeah, we missed you today. You didn't make it to church here. What happened? Did your air flight didn't come through for you, huh?
I guess not.
You've been listening to our conversation. You want to comment on this before we go to a song about how important it is to feel that you belong? And this is our subject matter for today, Deb, and to get across to people out there that there is a place. There is a place that God has for them and a reason that they are here on this planet. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, this whole passage is so speaking to me right now. I was actually in tears earlier listening to you.
Really?
So, you know, feeling like you belong is so important.
Hang on just a minute, Deb. Bill, we're having problems with the feed. It's just going in and out and very loud. Can we put her just on the phone or something? Or okay, Deb, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, we're having a lot of problems with that feed.
You want me to call in?
Yeah, would you do that and hold that thought, because you just keep going in and out, and just call in and hold that thought. Connie, we'll get back to you in a minute, Deb. Connie, I don't know what she was about to say, but did you have some final thoughts on that before we go to this Bill Gaither song?
I don't think I heard everything that you were talking to her about.
I couldn't hear her either. I mean, we were having a lot of problems with it, so... is she on now? Okay, here she is. Now, Deb, what's your point?
My point is that I am in the middle of this passage of Scripture right now, feeling like I belong, and where do I belong, and where am I supposed to be, and what does God have for me?
Yes.
This whole thing is speaking to me. I mean, you and I talked earlier, a couple of days ago, about
right.
this.
Yes.
So this is a very emotional topic for me right now.
Wow. And you happen to be on the show today, Deb.
Yes, I do.
It was not planned for that reason. This is just where I heard God speaking all week. And you heard the beginning of the show that this is what Brother Ken's church, the same topic is what came out today. with
them.
Yeah,
and I think it's very important. I mean, not just for me where I'm at right now. I think it's a very important topic for everyone everywhere right now, is trying to find that place that they belong and the path that they're supposed to be on.
Yes.
And it's just, it's a very important topic right now.
I totally agree. And when you don't feel that you belong, how do you feel?
Lost.
Okay. I think that's a great word right there. That's a great word. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the passage in John talking about, you know, the branches that produce fruit versus the branches that don't, and
right.
how pruning is done.
Yes.
Whether it's pruning for growth or pruning because of lack of growth and separation.
Right.
You know, that feeling of lost is that feeling of separation. You talk about the branches in your yard.
Yes.
You know, dying because they've been separated from their source of nourishment or
right.
whatever.
Right.
That's what it feels like. And for me, knowing what it feels like to belong and what it feels like to be a part of something that's feeding you and that you're growing.
Right.
And to have that feeling not be there for you right now, it's real scary.
So once you felt that you belong, and then for whatever reason you don't feel that way, circumstances have changed or whatever, it is a, it's like a piece of you is gone, like your right arm's been severed or something, right? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Exactly. That's
mm-hmm.
exactly. I feel severed. I feel separated.
You know, Connie, can you stay on for a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to play this song, Deb and Connie, and then I want to come back and have a three-way conversation here for a couple minutes. And Connie, if you need to go, I know you got a lot going on today. But for just a couple minutes, if you can hang with us, I asked Connie to put this on, Bill Gaither Trio. They're from my neck of the woods, Alexandria, Indiana. I'm from Muncie, Indiana. They wrote this a long time ago, Family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. The family of God. Now you'll notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. The family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part.
Praise God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Wow, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. I may not feel worthy, but I belong to the King. Hallelujah. Deb and Connie, are you there? Hallelujah. You know, I believe that there are people listening to this broadcast today, right now, and that will listen to it in the future, that feel those feelings of feeling like they are an outcast. I know that there are people that feel that they do not belong. Perhaps they've got problems in their family. Perhaps they have relatives that aren't speaking to them or don't consider them worthy of their time or attention. Perhaps they have a spouse who has just turned a cold shoulder to them. Perhaps they have children that neglect them and don't speak to them. And God says, you are my child, my chosen one. Relax and rest in my love, saith God. Now, Deb, Connie, why is it that the devil works overtime in people's lives to make them feel that they do not belong and that they're not worthy? Why? Talk to me about why.
He doesn't want us on God's side.
Right.
He'll do anything to get us into his side.
Right. Okay,
the farther we are from God, the closer we are to him.
Okay, so back to John, where we have to make our home, make ourselves at home with him and his word. That's the key to answered prayer, right?
Yeah.
Deb, what's your take on that?
Well, you know, the more the devil keeps us in turmoil, the easier it is for him to play in our lives.
Right.
And when we're already feeling disconnected from whatever, that's an open door for Satan to come in and just make you feel even worse than you already do.
Exactly. And he loves that, right?
Oh, he thrives on it.
Well, I mean, let's think about this. If what Jesus is saying here is true, and it is, so because it is true, he says that when we make ourselves at home in him and in his word, then we can be sure that whatever we ask will be listened to and acted upon. And this is how the Heavenly Father shows who he is. When we begin to produce fruit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control and all of those fruit of the Spirit, but it is also when we produce the fruit and in other people's lives, when we're praying for people, when we're ministering to them, when we care about them, we put our arm around their shoulder, when we give away hope and all of this. So amplify on that. Why is this such a major thing for the devil? Either one of you, whoever wants to go. Connie, I'll start with you. Why is it the devil attacks us in the area of belonging?
I think that he somehow he knows and helps put thoughts in and watches our actions and sees how we respond and knows where our weaknesses are.
Oh, he does know where our weaknesses are.
Longing.
Oh, and, I totally agree.
You know, that whole hurt feeling, the hurtness,
yes,
the hurtfulness, the worthiness, the whole, you know, all those roots of a lot of our behaviors.
Yes.
I mean, you know, just like this that guy last night, you know, I wasn't really trying to be nasty to him, but I, you know, I just wanted him to think, you know, what is it that makes him so much better than all these people that he's screaming at with the megaphone?
Right, exactly.
You know,
right.
He's no different than anybody else. And yet he's elevated himself far above and trying to make people feel less than.
Right, exactly.
And that right there is an act of the devil or, you know, the liar.
Right.
That's not being godly.
No, that's not being godly at all. And that does not cause anybody with that megaphone, the people listening to that, to want to run up and go, what do I do? You know, what's wrong with me? In fact, it makes people kind of belligerent, doesn't it?
It does not
do the desired effect. Deb, do you want to comment on that? Why the devil uses this whole issue? Why this is an important issue to even have a radio show on today?
Well, you know, it's like the kids in the playground who are picking sides for, you know, dodgeball or kickball or something.
Okay.
You know, you, we're all lined up in a line, and somebody is chosen to be the team captain of one team, and somebody's chosen to be the team captain of the other team, and they start picking kids.
Right.
You know, there's always that one kid who always gets picked last.
Yeah.
And as each person, you know, is picked and that one kid is left standing there, you know, this kid knows, well, you know, they're not going to pick me. They always pick me last.
Yeah.
And, you know, the devil sees that. And the devil goes over and says, you know, but that's okay. You know, you can play on my team. And, you know, and at the same time, the devil's going, you know, no, they're not going to pick you. You know, because, you know, you don't have shoes like theirs. You know, your shoes come from, you know, the resale shop. You don't get them at the, you know, the high-end sports shoe store.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're no good. And you're in, and he just plays on that and feeds on that until you get to a point to where you start believing it. Because I truly believe that not every single thought that we have is ordained by God or ordained by Satan. Because
right.
God did give us the choice to think
free
for
will.
Ourselves.
Absolutely.
But with our own thoughts,
right?
You know, God's going to come in and reinforce the positive in our life and give us the right direction if that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're in the negative and we're not open to hearing what God has for us, Satan can overpower that. I truly believe that. You know, if we're not open to being able to hear God, you know, God's just going to sit and patiently wait on us, where Satan is going to charge in like a bull.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just try to take those thoughts and make them even worse, and you start believing it. And when you start believing those things, that you don't belong, that you don't fit in, you know, your behavior starts to show, and it just magnifies.
Absolutely. Oh, I totally agree. And so do you become an effective ambassador for God when you're feeling like you don't belong, you're less than, you don't measure up, you're unworthy, obviously you don't feel like getting out there and saying to talking to people about God, do you?
No, you wind up sitting in a corner and feeling sorry for yourself and cutting yourself off from anything and everything that may be good and positive that's going on in the world or in your life.
Right.
And it just, you just become this dark soul.
You know, and you both have been in churches all your lives, and you know that church can be a place where a lot of people get hurt. And believe me, I've experienced it personally, and, you know, I've seen it for years. And I know that the devil loves to get in there to churches and cause problems and cause people to feel that they aren't as good or as well-liked by the pastor, let's say, and in this case, me. Connie, you've seen this for years, that people get their feelings hurt by me when I don't even remember what it was that happened, and I certainly did not mean to hurt anybody. Connie, can you relate to any of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say that anytime you let somebody negative, whether it's their negative thoughts, their negative comments, you know, promoted by the devil or whoever to get to you, if you let them live rent-free in your head.
Live rent-free in your head. I like that, Con. I like that. We can use that, Deb.
You let them live rent-free in your head, mm-hmm. they're going to tear you apart.
Yeah, they are. What do you mean live rent-free? In other words, you should make them pay if they're going to try to harass you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if they're going to harass you, they should have to buy some real estate in your head instead of you just letting them tell you all this crap.
In other words, you don't allow them to buy any real estate in your head, and
right.
you command them to leave in the name of Jesus and don't give in to that kind of stuff, right?
Fight back, yeah.
Exactly.
Not listen to it. Don't take it as anything.
Right. Deb, what do you want to comment on all that, how the devil works?
I was sitting here thinking, I play a lot of games on the Pogo game site. I have a membership, and there you log in, and there's a little chat room for each game board.
Okay.
And I sit there, and I look at the chat that goes on in these rooms, and there's always one heckler in the room, always.
Yeah.
Who will start something, and it's amazing to watch how many people feed into that.
Really?
And they may not even know what's going on, but they'll start making negative comments and heckle the person that the original heckler was heckling.
Wow.
And it's this juvenile behavior. And I sit there and I look at that and I think, you know, just one kind word is all you need to say about somebody.
Right.
You know, and I keep thinking about that scenario and how it plays out in real life. You know,
yes.
You talk about you allow people to, you know, to live rent-free in your head.
Right.
You know, here's a chat room of people that you don't even know, and one person starts, and they get into, you know, they may get into your head, and you just feed into what they're doing.
Don't you think that people tend to pick up on the negative because it's easier? Don't have to fight. Just let it happen. Okay. Yeah, I'm
sure.
A worthless piece of dirt, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and I mean, that plays out in every dynamic, whether it's family or work or whatever. You know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to see the bad thing that somebody does and want
right.
to correct them.
Right.
Instead of patting them on the back for the good things that they do. I mean, my dad used to always say that it takes, I can't say this word on the air.
Okay, don't.
It takes 10 good things.
Okay.
To erase one bad thing.
All right. Okay.
And he was talking about, you know, when you get in trouble at work.
Right.
You know, it takes 10 good things, doing good things, for your boss to forget about that one screw up.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's true in life.
Well, and the devil loves to take those negative things, like what I was saying a minute ago, things that happen at church, for instance, keep people out of church because they don't want to be hurt. When what they need to do is realize they need the word, they need the fellowship, they need to feel that they belong. So the devil works overtime to cause people to not feel that they belong. That's what I'm trying to say here, girls.
Yeah, and you know, I was not in a good place in church this morning, and I was struggling to feel like I belonged. I was this morning.
Wow.
And I was going through a lot of stuff, and a couple of people, one person in particular that doesn't really know me very well, but he came up and he hugged me, and he could tell that something was wrong. And you know, he said a little prayer for me, and we stood there in the back of the church, and we talked, and then service went on, and it was so weird. After service today, somebody came up to me and, you know, said, instead of making a positive comment about something that I'm in charge of, you know, thank you for doing this, I appreciate you doing this, they took and made a negative comment, not liking how something was done.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, where I was already.
Right.
That just made it even worse.
Uh-huh. You think that
you know?
Just played right into what the devil was trying to do to your head.
Exactly, and it was so strange coming from the person that it came from. You know, it was like, whoa, you know, and like I said, people don't notice the good things; they notice the negative things.
Right, exactly.
So,
wow, good point. Good point. In our daily lives, we're going to have many opportunities to feel disenfranchised. Do you know what I'm talking about by that term, y'all?
Yeah.
Okay. Connie, you want to explain?
Second best.
Yeah, second best. That you don't belong. That, you know, that you're less than. And there are so many people out there that feel that way, that maybe it's a race issue that they feel because their skin is darker than somebody else's, that they are less than. People that in the gay community struggle with this a lot, and that they feel less than, that they feel like they're an outcast, that maybe they've been told they're doomed, they're going to hell, and all of this. And so that those feelings set up a feeling that they don't really have a place, that they don't belong. And this is one of our goals and missions at Beacon of Hope, is that to create a safe place, create a place where people feel that they belong, regardless of anything about them that might seem a little different. One of our members has this guy has a long ponytail. I think he's had it since the 60s. What do you think, Con? And he's so cute. I love him. He laid our carpet for us. He's just a sweetheart. And he looks a little different compared to some people, you know, with this big long ponytail. How cute is that? But, you know, possibly, I don't know, I'll have to ask him, possibly in the past he's felt a little different or a little strange because of maybe that aspect of him. You both know what I'm talking about. One quick comment from each of you, and then we've got to go to station ID. And then, Connie, if you need to go, we understand. And, Deb, if you'll hang on with me, that would be great. And but one quick comment from each of you. Connie?
Well, I think that sometimes as we're, you know, growing up, that people that we think are supposed to be our protectors and supposed to be the ones that are supposed to love us and be the ones that we could always count on let us down. And they let us down in so many different ways. They may be just totally, you know, horrific to us or just, you know, incapable of seeing beyond their own feelings or their own needs, and for whatever reason, you know. And but the bottom line is that we, as we're growing up, don't get nurtured the way that we're supposed to get nurtured.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that, you know, in the gay community, in just as you were saying, there some people may feel racial
right issues. Yeah,
issue. You know, anything that makes us different from, quote, the norm.
Right.
You know, and because of that lack of nurturing as a child and growing up, you know, we don't feel like we got our full complement of arsenal.
Right. We feel cheated.
And a lot of times, you know, it's easy for us to get picked on or to get beat up.
Right.
And you think that that's the way you're supposed to be.
Wow.
You know, and that you're not worthy of things.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's the farthest thing from the truth. And,
exactly.
And that's the farthest. I mean, those are the ones. Think of Jesus when he was doing his ministry. And, you know, he had all these people, these, you know, affluent people following him. But who did he go to? He didn't go to those affluent people. He told them that they needed to become like little children and be born again, and that they needed to lose some of that worldly stuff,
right?
You know, and he went to the simple people who he knew felt like they were less than,
right? And those are the ones. Good point.
Yeah, and you know, that's I just keep going back to that song today.
Yes.
I can't even remember exactly any of those words. I can remember little bits of her introduction, but I got so lost in the song.
Praise God.
And what it was saying that, you know, that I can't wait to get that song in itself says so much. And I don't even know if Mel realizes that. Because and I know I mean maybe she probably does, but I just feel like there's an urgent need for people to hear that song.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
And I mean a lot of people don't relate to music, but that's what I relate through.
Right.
Is the words of a song, and it's almost like a soothing balm.
Yes.
Spread across sores on your body.
Yes, it did.
When you hear those words and you hear and understand what it is that God's trying to tell you.
Oh, fantastic. You know what? We've got to do station ID. Connie, are you coming back or you got to go?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll find out in just a minute. Station ID and then Deb.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. On with me today, Deb. From Texas, and Deb Reasonover, I'm sorry, and Connie Farmer, and both of them leaders in the ministry at Beacon of Hope. And God is doing a mighty thing in our ministry. We welcome you to check us out on the web, beaconofhopeministries.com. All of the radio shows from this year are already up there on the web. You can go and listen in your pajamas in the middle of the night when you need a two-hour shot in the arm from God, because God will bless you. These last several weeks, Connie, the anointing on this show has just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, girl?
Yeah.
It's just been powerful. And hearing you, everything you just said, it's just been so powerful. We welcome our listeners to send their prayer requests in. And that is easy. Deb, you and Alice are still doing a very great job about that. When the requests come in, Deb, what do you do? And how do they send a prayer request in to Beacon of Hope?
If they have a prayer request, they can send it to prayers, that's P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at beaconofhopeministries.com. And that prayer request immediately goes to, I think, four or five of us that are actually working in leadership roles on that. And we immediately, one of us will grab that prayer request and immediately shoot it out to everyone that's on our prayer team. And we enclose along with that request a small prayer so that as soon as you're reading that request, you're also reading a prayer, praying for that person and those needs.
Amen. And so they can be on the prayer team too, right? We've got people from all over, don't we?
All over, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South, and I think we even have a few overseas now.
Right. And they just, they write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com and say, put me on the prayer team. I want to get those requests. I want to join you in prayer. Is that correct?
That is correct. And we also have some people on our prayer team, quite a few people that are members of other churches.
Yes.
Some that have never even stepped foot in Beacon of Hope.
Sure.
And that
connects
up with their prayer team at their church, which goes even further.
Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, we're connecting it now with other churches, and so that is really cool. And we welcome people to visit our website. You can become a partner with us, and all of that is in our on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. I want to get back to our discussion in just a moment, but let's play this song that Connie's got up next by Wendy Bagwell. Now, this is a group that's a long time ago here, Con. And the Sunlighters.
Have you heard of them before?
Yeah, that's an old group, I believe. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Wendy Bagwell and the Sunlighters.
I was looking for that song, and that was the only one that I could find singing it, so I thought.
It's an old group, yeah. I'm a child of the King, and then we come back with Deb and Alice, or Deb and Connie.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sins, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home, my holy Father by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Praise God, praise God.
Praise God, I'm a child of the King. You know, Connie, I'm glad you played that old song, because I grew up singing that song, you know, in church. And I think the church, as I was a kid in Indiana, sounded kind of like that song. I am a child of the King. A little different style than we're usually use here.
But
wasn't that good? That was great. That was great. Yeah, and it says so much right there. I'm a child of the King. That's what it's about. Deb, what? Now we get back to you, dear. Are you still there?
I am.
All right. When we had to go to station identification, what we were talking about, do you want to amplify on that? I would ask you that question again, but I don't remember what it was. So
that's okay. You know, I was listening to Connie, and she got down towards the end, and she basically said what I was going to say is that isn't it interesting that of all the people that Jesus had to choose from to start his ministry and to do his ministry while he was here on earth, he chose the outcast and the downtrodden.
Yes.
And just the normal people, and not the leaders, you know, the Pharisees and all. He chose just the common man.
Right.
And
he sure did.
I just keep going back to that. Whenever I get frustrated, I just keep telling myself that I am that common man and that God has chosen me.
Yes.
To you know, work in his ministry and to get his word out to others. And I just have to keep reminding myself that I am that common man.
And that he's got something for you to do. And I've got to remind you both of the vision of Beacon of Hope, which was the same vision for my church in Indiana. And some of our dear Indiana folks are listening today, I'm sure. Isaiah 61 was the vision for Cornerstone Ministry in Newcastle, Indiana. It's the vision for Beacon of Hope. God has not changed it. It is Isaiah 61. I want to read the first few verses, and then I want you both to comment on this. Because when Jesus preached his first sermon in the synagogue in his hometown, he got up, and that's in Luke 4. And what he preached in his first sermon, he asked them to get the scroll of Isaiah down off the wall, because they were stacked up, and they found this section, and Jesus opened it, and then he said this after he read these verses. He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in me," meaning him. So here's what Isaiah 61, this was a prophecy about Jesus. "The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me." This is Jesus. "Because, and on us, because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, announce freedom to all captives, pardon all prisoners. God sent me," or us, Jesus, all of us, "to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, giving them a bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit, so that they would be called oaks of righteousness, planted by God to display his glory." And it goes on and on and on. But it's saying God has a purpose for you. You belong in the plan of God. And that is what we are talking about here. And back over to John 15, and then I'm going to ask you both to comment here. Connie, if you need to leave, just jump off and we'll go on. John 15, back to what we were talking about. In verse 11, Jesus said these words, "I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy." Wow. God's told us we belong to him, that we're branches, he's the vine, that we can ask anything in his name, and we get that request answered. God says through Jesus, "I'm telling you these things so that you're full of joy." I don't know about you, but I'm full of joy when I know that I belong, that I belong. "I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I loved you. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I no longer call you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking or planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father." Verse 16 of John 15. "You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you. And I put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil." God has chosen you because he loves you and he wants you to choose him, and therefore you will know that you belong. How about that? And that's what we're talking about. Let me make one more point and then I'm going to get back to our guests here. This morning I was talking about the passage in Deuteronomy where when the Hebrews had a debt with one another, the people, and that person could not repay the debt, that person had to become the slave of the one they owed. And they worked for 6 years. This is in the book of Deuteronomy. And you can look it up later. I won't go there and read it right now, but believe me, it is there in Deuteronomy, and it is found in chapter 15, starting with about verse 10 through 18. And here's what was done. When the 6 years of servitude were complete, the seventh year, the slave was released, was sent away. He got to go. And it said here that they sent him off, not empty-handed, but they sent them with provisions and blessings and all kinds of food and all kinds of animals, plenty of bread and wine and oil. He said, load them up with all these blessings, okay? Now, he says in verse 16, "But if for some reason your slave, because he loves you and your family, has a good life with you, says, 'I don't want to leave you, master,' then take an awl," A-W-L, which is like an ice pick, "and pierce through his earlobe into the doorpost, marking him as your slave forever. Do the same with the women slaves, and if they choose to stay with you, then they stay with you as a bond slave." Paul called himself a bond slave. In other words, he loved God so much that he knew he belonged to God and knew that God had a plan and a purpose for his life. And he wasn't going anywhere because he loved God so much. He wasn't going to walk away and take a vacation. Do y'all know what I'm talking about here? And how does this relate to this whole topic of belonging? Connie, are you with us?
Yes.
Go ahead. Do you want to comment? Or Deb, do you want to start?
Let Deb start.
All right, let's let Deb start. All right, Deb, go for it. You understand the picture here.
Do what?
Do you understand?
Did I make you cry yet? Oh, I was crying earlier on when it started.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just checking.
All right.
You've already made me cry, Connie. It works.
It's always our goal, Deb. It's always our goal. So anyway.
I was crying the whole thing anyway.
Yeah, praise
your day
God.
Is made. I totally understand that whole passage in Deuteronomy.
Yes, yes.
You know, with not wanting to leave the master
right.
when you find out how good you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that once you make that decision and you answer that calling that your life is just roses, because it's not.
No, he continued. Those people that made that choice continued to be slaves. I mean, they continued to work for the master, but they made the choice that they loved the master so much they weren't going anywhere.
That's right. And I definitely understand that feeling. Maybe I need to go get an extra hole put in my ear.
Yes.
mm-hmm. now because I had forgotten about that part.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, an extra piercing in my ear.
An
or
extra
something.
Piercing. What does that really... There you go. What does that really say about belonging, Deb? What does it say about belonging?
It says to me that once you find that master, and for me, that master is God, is
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
That, you know, you realize the blessings that you have through that master.
Yes.
And you're forever grateful to him for those blessings.
Amen.
And you realize, too, that in order to continue those blessings, like you said, it's a bond servitude.
Yes.
That, you know, you want to continue to serve, you know, Jesus so that those blessings continue.
Amen. Amen.
And where that all fits into belonging is that when we don't belong, we're always searching. We're always out there trying to find that one thing that's going to make us feel good, you know, that's going to give us a sense of purpose.
Exactly.
And once you have that belonging, you have that sense of purpose. You have that sense of feel good.
Right. And people do choose all kinds of things and pastimes and experiences that they think are going to make them feel good and make them feel like they belong, right?
Well, I was sitting here thinking about people who abuse different alcohol and drugs and,
right.
you mm-hmm. know, gambling and everything else. You know, that's a short-lived high.
Right.
And for me, the high that I get through God's word and through Jesus, it doesn't cost me anything.
Right.
It's free.
Mm-hmm.
The only cost I may encounter is going out and buying a Bible.
Right. Okay.
You know?
Right.
But it's a one-time cost.
Okay. It's a good investment, too.
You read the word and you ingest the word and you get that high for free on a daily basis.
Woo. Amen. And Jesus says here, I'm telling you all this so that my joy might be your joy. In other words, you're going to have joy like you've never known when you begin to understand that you're a branch, he's the vine, and you got to get plugged in and you got to become at one and at home with him. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Mm.
Connie, you have a comment on that?
Well, it kind of goes, what she's saying is my whole theory that's based on what we've talked about before about the God-shaped hole.
You can tell your theory again. we'll hear it. There might be somebody out there in radio land that's not heard Connie Farmer's theory.
It's not my theory. I just think that God made us. He made man so that he could have a relationship with us.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And that relationship is based on his love for us and his caring.
Amen.
And he created Adam and Eve, and he it's not like he didn't know they were going to sin.
Right.
He knew from the very beginning how everything was going to end and that he was going to send Jesus to save us and to pay for all of our sins but he created this spot in our hearts that only he can fill.
Amen. Yes.
And you know, once you get on the bandwagon, get on the program and realize that it's his spot that you're trying to fill with alcohol and gambling and drugs or whatever else, you know, and you stop running and realize that he's what's going to work and that he's the only thing that fits in that little puzzle hole spot.
And Connie, that's exactly right. And it goes back to the Psalm 139 we were talking about earlier that Mel mentioned this morning, because in Psalm 139, David penned these words, and it says, David's writing to God in verse 13, you shaped me first inside, then out. The real you is the inside of you. You formed me, he's talking to God, you formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful, God. I'll never comprehend them. And then he just goes on to say, God, you really know me inside and out. You know me, God. You know everything that makes me me. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I was just sitting here thinking about that phrase, to know me is to love me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty scary for me to sit here and think, you know, God knows me inside and out. God knows who I am. He knows all my faults. He knows all the mistakes that I have made, and he knows all the mistakes that I'm going to make.
Yeah.
Yet he loves me in spite
of
all that.
Because you belong to him, sister.
That's right.
How about saying he knows you? He knows all the good you're going to do, and stop worrying about those mistakes.
There you go.
Well, but I attribute the good that I'm going to do to him.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the mistakes that I make or may make or have made, to me, is all part of that free will that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And the good things that I do in my life, at least now that I have God in my life, I look back on and I think, wow, I could not have done that without God.
Exactly.
But when I'm making a mistake, what I should be thinking is, you know, I wouldn't have done that if I would have let God run the show instead of me.
Exactly. But isn't it good to know he's there and that you belong to him? You know, not everybody in our listening audience is a parent, but I will say that when I first held my first child, Ryan, in my arms at, I guess I was like 25 when my first child was born, and I remember that incredible feeling of this child belongs to me. You know, now I began to realize I had to give him to God and all of that, but he was my child, you know, and there is that sense of, wow, you know, he belongs to me. And how much more God, our Heavenly Father, looks at us and says, hey, Deb, you belong to me. Hey, Bill over there in the control booth, you know what? You belong to God. He is your daddy. You know, I almost wanted to title my sermon this morning, Who's Your Daddy? But I thought that might be just a little inappropriate, Connie. I don't know.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, are you glad I didn't? But, I mean, seriously, that's it, isn't it? Who's your daddy,
Who's
honey?
Your daddy?
Who is your daddy? Who is your papa? Who is your father, God? You know, who do you belong to? Two. You know, people can look at my three children and they look so different from each other. But every once in a while, I look at one of my three children and I think, oh, I see their dad there in that expression. Or I see me in that expression. Or I see my dad or my sister or somebody. You know what I'm saying? And you can kind of tell who they belong to, you know? Mm-hmm. Even though they don't look alike, you can kind of tell who they belong to. Belonging. Why do we need to feel that we belong? Is God intimately involved in our lives? That's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life. You two stay with me. If you need to leave, Con, that's fine. His Eye is on the Sparrow by Selah.
Discouraged, why do the shadows come, and why does my heart feel numb in love for heaven and toil? A constant
His eyes on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. Those of you listening today that are struggling with where do you belong? Where do you belong in the body of Christ? Where do you belong? Maybe in your home or at your job, you have situations going on. We are talking today about belonging, that God wants you to feel that you belong. He wants you to know that you belong, that you are his child, that he has a plan for your life. And that's why he says in John 15, verse 16, you didn't choose me, remember? I chose you. And I put you out there in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. Just remember the root command, love one another. Who started to speak? Go ahead.
We're both quiet. I don't know. Is Connie still here?
I don't know. Maybe yeah. She is. Okay. Yeah, you're both quiet. Why are you so quiet?
Well, I'm listening to you talk.
Woo. All right.
I was reflecting on the song. I was actually singing along with it. I hope y'all didn't hear me.
Didn't hear you. Wow. His eye is on the sparrow. In other words, what does that song really say and mean? Deb, you're up first. And why do we have to feel that God has his eye on the sparrow? Why is that important?
The whole meaning of that song to me is that, you know, the choice was made of a sparrow for that song.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God looks after the least of us, the smallest of us.
Amen.
The largest of us, you know. And if he's not going to overlook the small little bird of a sparrow and take care of that sparrow, then why would he overlook me?
Exactly. And Jesus used this example in, I think, Matthew chapter 6 about that, you know, the sparrow, the birds that God watches over and clothes them and takes care of them. And so it's so important to realize God does care about what's going on in your everyday life. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. He cares about everything that we do, every place that we go, every person we come in contact with, every event that happens in our life, God cares. But God is not the type of person that's going to barge into your life. You know, he's going to wait patiently on you. You know, earlier on in the beginning of the show, when Brother Ken called in and said that, you know, a lot of times we're waiting on God to move in our lives, when in all actuality, God is waiting for us to move.
That was a good point, wasn't it? Oh, my gosh.
You know, and that's what it's all about. I mean, there are times when we do need to sit still and be patient and wait and listen for what God has for us. And, you know, that kind of goes back to where I'm at right now. I feel like that's what I need to be doing. But when Brother Ken said that, I wrote his words down in my little spiral notebook that I keep for the shows. And, you know, it got me to thinking, okay, have I been waiting long enough? Is God, you know, waiting on me to move?
Right.
You know, because sometimes, you know, what is it, the saying, you can sit around and, you know, watch things happen, you can make things happen, or you can be the person that wonders what the heck happened.
Oh, that's good. Or you can just sit around and watch the paint dry, right?
Right, and at some point, you have to get up and you have to move.
There you go.
God is not going to be there for you if you don't ask him into your life. And, I come back to God helps those that help themselves.
Well, and when we get it down on the inside of us that we belong to God, he belongs to us, then it's like we have power of attorney to begin to really pray and believe and expect God to move. Connie, do you have a thought on what Deb was just saying? I think those are excellent points.
Well, I think I was probably like on the same lines as far as the fact that he was going to take care of the least.
Yes.
Then why wouldn't he take care of us?
Amen. Yes.
And, I don't remember what scripture it is, but he said, we're at least better than the birds and in the sky. And why wouldn't he?
Right.
So.
If he takes care of the birds, why isn't he going to take care of us, right? Yes.
Right.
And if he knows us and knew us in our mother's womb, he knows everything that makes you you anyway. We think we can hide from God. I think that's,
He made us.
Exactly. And we have to get to a point where we accept ourselves where we are, but we also have to understand that we belong to God and God has a job to do in each of us. I want you both to comment on this because I think this is huge. I think people get hung up with this whole issue of becoming more like Jesus, and they feel like they can't do it because it's too hard. They don't know where to begin. And I propose today, it begins with a thorough understanding and acceptance that you belong. You belong to God. You belong in the body of Christ. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And if you get that down on the inside of you, then if you belong, then God is going to do something in you or do what needs to be done in you, whatever it is, because you belong to a loving Heavenly Father that wants you to become more like Jesus. So he is going to do the work in you that needs to be done. Did you both catch all that I just spouted out there?
I think you just answered your question.
Ah, okay. All righty then.
That's what I was going to say, is that as long as you're willing and open, he'll do what he wants to do, and you'll become who he wants you to become.
Yes. Yes.
Period.
And it's a matter, but I think it starts with this whole concept of knowing who you belong to and who's your daddy, what does daddy want to do in you, Deb, do you want to comment on that?
Well, you said where do we begin with that? Well, I think it all begins with Jesus' commandment of loving each other as he loved us.
Amen.
Because in the grand scheme of things, that's really the hardest thing for a lot of us to do, is to love others the way God loves us.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
To look past the label that you may give that person, whether it be, a racial label or a lifestyle label or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter what color your skin is or where you're from or how you may live your life, because God loves you whether you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and allowed God into your heart. God still loves you.
Yes.
And Jesus looked past all of that. I mean, Jesus, look at the lepers.
Right.
You weren't supposed to go near them. They were sin incarnate,
Right.
So the leprosy was their sin showing.
Right.
That's what everyone thought. But Jesus didn't care.
Yeah.
Because, those are God's children.
Yes.
And he showed love to them. And in showing that love to them, they received the healing that they needed.
Good point. Good point.
And it all starts out with I've said this so many times, you never know when you're at work or at school or at the mall or wherever you're at, you never know when you walk past somebody, if you just smile and say hi, that could be that one thing that that person needs, and that's showing God's love.
And I think
reaching out to someone.
I agree, and I think that happens more when we are sure of who we are. That's my point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because I didn't, before I accepted God and accepted the fact that God chose me to do his work.
Right.
I wasn't, I mean, everybody will tell you I can carry on a conversation with a brick wall.
Yes, you can, Deb. Yes, you can.
But I wasn't one to just, you know, hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know, or hi, how's your day going?
Right.
You know, and I just, I wasn't one to do that. I just wouldn't do it. And I do it now and don't even think about it.
So you were a little shy in that area of communicating, maybe.
I would never say I was shy. There's nothing shy about me.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah. That was a wrong choice of words there.
I think I was, like you said, I was unsure of reaching out.
Okay. Yeah.
And saying hi to somebody that was just passing me in the hall. I used to look at people, or as I would come past them, I might be looking at them, but as they got close, I would kind of turn away, you
okay.
know, and not
yeah.
look them in the eye.
Right.
And now, you know, I do that because I am sure of who I belong to. I am sure of what my purpose is. You know, somebody said that we need to make sure and remember every day who we I don't think they said who we belong to, but basically, you know, who we are as Christians. You know, who we represent. Thank you. Who we represent. You know, we need to remember who we represent every day.
Amen. Amen. And when we do, it makes our interaction with people a little different, because it kind of stops us up short when we start to be grouchy and mean, because we're representing the Most High God, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, we have to be mindful of who we serve.
Amen. Connie, do you want to comment on that? Watch her say no, Deb. Watch her say no.
I should, just to get you.
I know,
but
you should.
No.
I knew.
I do agree, and I, you know, there's a couple songs of the Message We Wear His Name, and, you know, once we agree that we love Jesus and he's our Savior, we have, we become part of his body.
Amen.
Body, and for his arms and his legs, and
yes.
for his
oh,
mouth
yeah.
and his eyes, and you know, and so we need to be able to act accordingly and present ourselves accordingly, so that
absolutely, absolutely. When we realize who we belong to, here's an example that's just coming to me right now. Growing up as a preacher's kid, you know, in the pastorate, and my dad was a pastor, and then a missionary and so forth. And all my life, up until the time I got married, I went to different churches all the time with my dad because of his ministry and, you know, different countries and so forth. And I can remember my mom stressing to my sisters and I over and over again. Now, you remember here, you're the preacher's kids, you know? You're expected to behave. You're expected to act a certain way. And at church camp, when I was in high school, and church camp up in Indiana, there was a gang of us that kind of hung out together, and we were probably troublemakers, I guess, but not in a bad way, just kind of silly and whatever. And I had gotten this lecture as we were on the way to church camp. Now, remember, you're the superintendent's daughter, which meant my dad was the head of 90 churches here. And so all these kids were there. You're the superintendent's daughter, and we expect you to behave and be a good example, whatever. Well, it was upsetting to them to find out that I was part of maybe a ringleader, maybe kind of, sort of, something like that. Of the morning that my dad walked out of his cabin at camp to find his boxer shorts flying from the flagpole up at the top of the camp, you know, and that was just one of several things that happened. And I remember getting the lecture, don't you know who you are? You're the superintendent's daughter, for heaven's sake. And that's just one of many examples. But anyway, I think that this is a point that we need to make here. We have got to get it down on the inside of us who we are and whose we are. We belong to the Lord. We are bond slaves. We are his children. We are not walking away from him. He can put the ice pick in our ear, and we are staying. We are bond slaves. Now, enough of my preaching. I want you both to comment on that. Connie, you start first. You don't have to comment on the boxers. Just the rest.
I think that Jesus was laughing about that, too, because your dad was probably, you know...
Yeah, up in heaven right now. Dad's listening to the show and saying, ah, she told on herself. Uh-huh, I knew she did that. Yeah. I'm going to give you two a minute to think because we're going to do our last song right now. It's Stephen Curtis Chapman, Fingerprints of God.
I can see the tears filling your eyes, and I know where they're coming from. They're coming from a heart that's broken in two by what you don't see. The person in the mirror doesn't look like a magazine. Oh, but when I look at you, it's clear to me.
Fingerprints of God. God has his hand on you, his fingerprints on you. He created you. He knows you. He's got a plan for your life. You belong to someone. You belong to God Almighty. And if you haven't chosen him, he has definitely chosen you. And he expects you to step up to the plate and get to work for what he wants you to accomplish in your life. My two guests, my wonderful good friends, my very close friends, Connie and Deb. Connie, you want to go first and comment on whatever it was I asked you before I went to the song? I'm not tired or anything today. It's been a wild few weeks here getting this church ready. I'm a little tired. Anyway, just sum it up, Connie. We'll just sum up what you want our listening audience to understand about belonging here.
God made us for a purpose.
Okay.
Every single one of us, he knew who we were. Who we're going to be all along. So if you think that you're less than what he wants, it's not true.
Exactly.
That you're not worthy for him to do anything in you, that's not true.
Exactly.
And just step up and do it.
Don't buy the
Stop
lie of the devil.
About it and do it.
Exactly. Don't buy the lie of the devil. Understand that you belong to God and you're chosen. God has a work for you to do.
Yep.
And he wants you to be in the army. I said this morning, it reminds me of the old poster we used to see with Uncle Sam. I don't know when that poster was about the army. Uncle Sam wants you. Well, we need to relate to that and say, God wants you, honey. God wants you. He has a plan for your life, and he's got a purpose for you. And maybe you've never fulfilled that purpose, and now's the time to figure it out. Deb, do you have a comment to all of that?
Well, you know, I was thinking that about what finally made me decide to accept the call that God had for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was, you know, growing up in the church, I was very active, but it was compared to the way I feel now, it was so superficial.
Right.
And I think the one thing that made me decide that I was going to take this step in faith and do this is I really had this thought of, okay, fine. At some point, the world's going to come to an end. Jesus is going to come back. And if I'm not on Jesus's team,
right,
and working for Jesus, then I'm going to get left behind.
Right.
And there were so many times in my life that I have felt like I was left behind. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people, and I've said this on the show before. I had a very good friend who was actually a Wiccan, and I talked to her about it. And, you know, she said, well, how do you know that it's all true? How do you know that you know, what's in the Bible is true? How do you know that God exists? And I looked at her, and I said, how do I know that he doesn't?
Right.
You know, and what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose if I answer this call and it's not true? Then I'm in the same boat that I would be in if I didn't answer this call.
But
and
it
that,
is true.
That was the reasoning behind it. So I'm saying all that.
Yeah.
If there's somebody out there that's going, yeah, that all sounds really good, but, you know, what if?
Right.
Well, this is my what if. What do I have to lose? I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And I look back at the last, and I have only been on this path for about 7 years.
Yeah.
And I look at everything that I have gained in 7 years.
Ooh.
The relationship that I have with God now has brought me so many blessings.
Amen.
You know, it's put me in an awesome job with working with two really good Christian men. And it's put me in a personal relationship, someone that I have, you know, a life partner that's there for me, that I couldn't ask for that better. It helped me get through what I needed to get through with issues that I had with my parents.
Right.
You know, I don't think I would be, I know I would not be where I am now with things that have happened in my past and grudges that I was holding against people that are just not there anymore, because it's like I don't care.
Right.
The past is the past, and I can't change it, and you can't change it, and the things that were said can't be changed. And I have all of that to attribute to God's word and God's love and God's grace and mercy.
Amen.
And all of that culminates with, I now belong.
Amen.
And I now belong to the best team that's playing out there right now.
Amen.
It's the winning team, because it always wins out. God's word says it's going to win out.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
You know, so I'm going to be on the team that at some point is going to hit that grand slam home run out of the park.
Right.
And I'm not going to just be standing on the sidelines. I'm going to be on the field.
Well, and you're on the field. You're in the work of the Lord. You're in the ministry. You're taking this all very seriously and saying, I belong to the Most High God, and I will step up to the plate. And in Isaiah chapter 6, when God said to Isaiah, who am I going to send? Who's going to do this work that needs to be done? And Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:8, here am I, Lord, send me. Because Isaiah was feeling inadequate, insecure, didn't think he belonged, didn't know how God could use him. And yet the prophet Isaiah wrote 66 chapters full of prophetic word, all about prophecies of Jesus dying on a cross and all about the atonement, the virgin birth, born in Bethlehem. All of this came through the pen of the prophet Isaiah, because Isaiah stepped up to the plate and said, here am I, Lord, send me. And that is what we need to do. We need to step up to the plate and say, I belong to you, God. I am yours. Connie, I want you, are you still there, Con?
Yeah.
I want you to repeat after me so that our audience can repeat with you the sinner's prayer. If there is anybody out there right now that is not sure that you're going to heaven, that you know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you died tonight, would you be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, or would you be lost? And if you're not positive, I want you to pray along with Connie. I'm going to say the words first. Connie will say them after. In the dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus, your Son.
In the precious name of Jesus, your Son.
And I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
And I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sin and my sickness.
That he is the risen Lord.
And he is the risen Lord.
And forever lives in heaven with you, Father.
and forever lives in heaven with you, Father.
I acknowledge that I am unsure of whether or not I am saved by your grace.
I acknowledge that I am not sure of whether I say that again.
And whether I'm saved by your grace.
Saved by your grace.
And I want to be sure.
And I want to be sure.
So I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything.
So I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything.
That I have ever said or done that was not pleasing to you.
That I've ever said or done that's not pleasing to you.
I ask you to come into my heart and live there.
I ask you to come into my heart and live there.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
I'm your child.
I'm your child.
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
You're my papa.
You're my papa.
You're my Father God.
You're my Father God.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Whoa, thank you, Connie. If you just prayed that prayer, we want to hear from you. If you need counseling, we do that at Beacon of Hope. You can contact me directly, pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's an IES on the end of it, .com. Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries.com. I want you both to have a final word here. We're getting close to the end. Deb, final word.
Well, you know, I was thinking of that song. It's not a Christian song. But I was thinking of that song, Put Me in Coach, I'm Ready to Play Today.
Amen. Amen.
And that's just kind of my final thought.
Yes.
You know, you just got to say, like Connie said, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's my final thought. Put me in, Coach, I'm ready to play today.
All right. Very good. Deb, it's always a joy to have you on the air with us and Alice. And we just pray for you. We miss you so much. You've been in Houston again now for over a year and a half, and we miss you so much. So God bless you today, and thank you for your willingness to be a part of this show.
We miss you guys, too, and God blessings to y'all. Miss you, too, Connie, and know your day is made, Connie, because you made me cry.
Woo! All right. Thanks, Deb. All right, Connie.
All right, love you guys.
All right, Deb. Final thought, Con.
I'm so glad I'm part.
Yes, of the family of God.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. We welcome you to a service at Beacon of Hope. Connie, thank you so much. Talk to you soon. We welcome you to a service at Beacon of Hope. We are in Clearwater, Florida, in our new digs. Somebody today said, what's that mean? That's our new place and our new sanctuary, and it's beautiful. We are at 3,700. And you know how I am about numbers, 3 and 7, God's numbers, 3 and 7, 3700 Almerton Road, Suite 206, right behind Five Guys, Poncheros, some great restaurants. We are right there on the end with a beautiful, beautiful new suite. We welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 11. Today was an unusual time to start at 10. We do not normally start at 10. Start at 11, and Wednesday night, we start at 7 for Bible study. Prayer meeting begins at 6:15. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my good friends and special guests, Deb and Con. It's been a great time sharing the word with you. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Hear this show on the air again tomorrow on our website. So just push the radio show button and you'll find all the shows for 2010. You can go listen to some. There have been some great shows. Feel free to go there, beaconofhopeministries.com. And in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, get up and listen to a show and let God bless you and learn from him. It's always a joy to be with you. You can talk to me personally, pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. Until next week, when it will be live again on this wonderful radio station that we love so much. Until then, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister saying have a great day, have a great week. God bless you. He loves you. You belong to him. It's not far. It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far from here.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.